Reality is this. We've looked here in this influence series. We've looked at our relationship with the Father, which is the how and how we overcome our fear. It is the answer to overcoming our fear in this world today. We've looked at our relationship with the Son, which is the answer to our fruit. It's the answer to our fruit in this world. So last week we started this third portion, this third installment in this particular part of the Mindset series. And it's our answer to our faith. Our answer to our faith is based upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And guys, faith is a tricky subject. I'd mentioned to you about speaking to someone here a while back, and I was talking about faith, and they just couldn't get past the word faith and didn't want to hang their hat on the word faith. And they wanted to use the word trust, and then about 10 minutes into the conversation, they didn't want to use the word trust anymore. And then about 10 minutes later, they didn't want to use trust and still were going to go back to faith. And they mentioned the word dependent upon, and it was a continual circle. And basically what it was a continual circle of conviction, letting them know that you're going to have to put your faith, your trust, and your dependence into something that is bigger than you. Yeah. And your faith tonight is no better than the source it is placed in. If you're trusting in your ability, if you're trusting in your talent, you're trusting in your intelligence, your education, if you're trusting in those things today, guys, it's going to end in utter failure because we make mistakes. Ultimately, our life has to have a dependence on something that is not going to change. The Bible says that I am God, I change not. The Bible tells me that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. This I know. Everybody in this world may at one time forsake me. I may be a lone person where no one is around to help or to assist, and I can always bank on one person, and that is my God. Now, why can I have that here tonight? Why can I have that comfort? Why is my relationship with the Father the answer to my fear? My relationship with the Son, the answer to my fruit? Why is the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God the answer to our faith tonight? Well, we find it in John chapter 16. So you look there in John chapter 16. I'm going to once again ask you to stand. And I'm not even going to apologize about it tonight. Y'all go ahead and stand if you can. And let's get those legs nice and loose. And then we'll sit back down and go for a while. John chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 7 here. John chapter 16 verse 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Father in heaven, we pray that you'd bless tonight's message and word, dear God, to our hearts, our minds. We pray that you please would rest upon our souls this evening, that which we need to have that faith, dear God, that is placed in you, through the power of the might of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated. And guys, I had mentioned this here just last week, a quote from Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite, that he says, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless," he says. Well, we need to understand that our faith today is based upon a comforter that our Savior sent down from heaven, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. We can have faith in what Jesus Christ has told us and said to us. We can have faith that Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. We can have faith that we are sealed today with eternal security because our Savior, when he ascended on high, did not leave us comfortless, but rather sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And as he sent him down, the Holy Spirit did not come to answer things of himself. He didn't come to speak of who and what he was. He didn't come to speak of what the Holy Spirit can do and his power and his might, but rather he came and he spoke and he mentioned and he uses the things that Jesus Christ has said unto him. And that may seem a little odd to you tonight. It may seem a little strange, but it should not. Our strength and our influence in the Christian life is based upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God and how much we're rendering our life unto him. We received the Holy Spirit of God on the day, the moment, the hour, the minute, the second we got saved. born again of the blood of Christ. You're not going to receive any more of Him. You got all that you'll ever need on the day that you were saved. Amen. I like old Curtis Hudson's quote, and he can say it, and I can use him to say it, but I could never say it. But he said, on the day that I got married, I married my wife. She was sat over there in the front pew when he made this statement. He goes, you see her over there? There she is. She sat over there on the pew, and I married her. When I married her, I got every bit of her on the day that we got married, right? He goes, but now here, I guess it was 30 years later, whatever it was, he goes, you can see right now that I got more of her today than I did on the day that I got married. Now, I don't believe he realized really what he was saying, but it was a perfect illustration. The guys, the day that you got saved, you got every bit of the Holy Spirit of God than you're ever going to need. Amen. Right. Just like our wives and our husbands, amen. We got every bit that you're probably ever going to want or need, amen, either one, on the day that you got married. So one of the things that we received on the day that we got saved, when the Holy Spirit of God came into our life, number one, is we received power. This is something that people are chasing in their life. This is something that people want, they desire, they hunger for. Everybody wants to be in control. They want to have this power. Look at verse 13 with me, if you will, tonight. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you all things. Now, guys, we've looked at this point before, but I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 as we illustrate this one more time. Acts in chapter 1 is where it's going to be. I just want to bring this idea of what power is, and I want to compare them. Now, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, this is the words that we find there. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, this occurrence, this conversation is recorded in the Word of God multiple times in different passages, and we're going to compare two of those passages tonight with Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says in verse 7, He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, here's the kicker on this thing right here. Now, we know that Luke recorded the book of Acts. He wrote the book of Acts. More than likely, he got this occurrence right here directly out of the mouth of Peter. And by inspiration of God, he wrote this down. This day that Jesus Christ ascended on high, he was speaking unto his disciples just prior to the ascension. And this is what he told him. He says, listen, my Father in heaven has His own power. Okay, well, that power we see he mentioned also in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And this is what he said. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all right? Now, we know that word to be, I've just lost the word, omnipotent, okay? All powerful is what that word means. Jesus Christ is all powerful. We know according to the book of Colossians that all things are created by Him and for Him, and by Him was not anything created. All things through Him, they do what? What's that word? Everything in our world today that is created, they do what through Jesus Christ? They consist by and for Jesus Christ. There is not a molecule on this planet, nor in all of creation today, that cannot hold its fibers together if Jesus Christ wills them not to happen. That's how all things exist. That is the definition of being all-powerful, all right? Is holding all things together, not just being able to create and to destroy, but create, hold together, and then destroy them should He choose to, all right? All power is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. In the same conversation, the same commandment, the same confession that Jesus has given that we read about in Acts chapter 1 and that I just read from Matthew 28, we also find recorded in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24 verse 49, this is what is said. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, speaking of the Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with, what's that next word, remember it? Power from on high. Now, here's what I want to ask you a question here. This is a question of common sense. Is there one God? Amen. Would you agree to do we believe in monotheism? Amen. Is there one God in all creation? We believe that, right? There is one God, right? And we know the eternal Godhead is made up of a holy Trinity. God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit of God. I got a note the other day from I guess I got a Vimeo account out there that I forgot about. It has the creation series that we preached many years back, back in 15. And some guy decided to let me know that Jesus isn't God and there's only one God and there's no Son, there's no Holy Spirit. So I didn't reply. I don't even think I would know how. I can't even find that account. But I thought it was funny that somebody just thought that they wanted to tell me that there is no other, you know, two parts of the eternal Godhead, even though Scripture clearly corrects that and tells us that there is. We believe there being one God. So here's the question I have to you tonight when we're speaking with this power tonight. Jesus Christ said, tarry ye here. I want you to hang out here in Jerusalem. There's a time limit on it. Now, we know by history it was 10 days, but he says there's a time limit on it. You're going to stay here in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Now, Jesus said he was given all power in heaven and earth, but now he's telling you that you're going to be with endued from power from on high. So let me ask, are we all powerful tonight? No. So that has to be a different type of power, is it not? If all power is given to Jesus Christ in heaven and earth, and then yet we're going to be endued or filled, if you will, or empowered, if you will, with power, it can't be the same power, is it not? Now, so we understand that verse 7, Acts chapter 1, verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That word comes from a Greek word, exousia, which simply means authority or jurisdiction. It's the same word that is used in Matthew 28:18, where Jesus Christ says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So what are we saying? Jesus Christ, God the Father, have all power in heaven and in earth. And in other words, they have all power in all creation, okay? They can do what they want to do when they want to do it. They can do it how they want to do it. They can do it for whatever reason. We're not to question why God does the things that he does, because everything is in his power. Amen. That is that exousia. He has all authority. He has all jurisdiction. But in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, we find a different power. He's saying that you're going to receive power. All right? He says, and he said unto them, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. All right? This comes from a Greek word, dunamis, which simply means strength and ability. And it is the same word that is in Luke 24:49 that we read just moments ago. Now you're sitting here thinking, well, preacher, do I need to have the Greek to understand the King James Bible? Not a licking bit. All you got to have is some common sense. Amen? I know we're not all powerful. If you want to find that out, go jump off this ledge and see if you can overcome gravity. Amen? I can promise you, 1.8 meters squared's time, you're going to land on the ground. Praise the Lord. So there's common sense. There's a common sense factor there in order to establish the context of the Holy Scripture. And here we know that we're going to be filled with power to do and perform what we need to do in this life. Guys, our relationship and our faith in Jesus Christ is based upon that Holy Spirit, based upon that Comforter that he sent down. His words are established. Matter of fact, his words are validated, if you will, by the simple fact that he sent the Comforter down to us to seal us. We are sealed. Our eternal security is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We receive power in this world today to perform the very task that Christ has given us to do. Which is without coincidence here, that in Matthew 28, Luke 24, Acts chapter 1, in the same conversation that Jesus Christ is having, and he's telling his disciples that you'll be endued with power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit of God, 10 days later after he ascended on high, is exactly what happened. I'm saying all that to say this. It is without coincidence, my friend, that he's also telling them, he's giving them the Great Commission as well. Okay? Guys, at the end of the day, when the dust is settled and we're looking about an influence and we're trying to consider what the Lord is going to do and how we're going to have an influence of our faith upon other people and how the Holy Spirit of God is going to be an influence unto us for our faith, when we have to stop, look, everything brings us back to one event in history, and that's the cross of Calvary. That is the cross. He said you're going to be endued with power from on high. Why do we need this power? So that we can walk around and float? No, we're not floating. Guys, you're not healing anybody physically. You're not calling down fire from heaven, even though you may want to do that sometimes. That's not the power he gave you. The power he gave you is the ability to influence others for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it in your own might. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own talent. But you can do it in the power of the might of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he gave us this Holy Spirit down here to comfort us, to seal us. It dwells inside of us today. We receive the ultimate source of ability. We receive the ultimate source of strength and power, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. And tonight, my friend, we have access to the very one who has all power. who is all-powerful in our world today. He's all-powerful in all creation today. We have access to Him through the Holy Spirit of God. Think about that for just a second. Imagine with me tonight that if on the other side of a door, the other side of a steel door that you could not break through to save your life, there's no amount of dynamite or weapons or explosives that's going to get you through that door, but on the other side of that door is the riches of the entire world. And all you need is one thing. A key. Just slide through there. You ever put a key in a nice fresh lock and you put that key in and you feel the teeth going over it and it clicks all the tumblers, you know. There's no wiggling. It just goes click, 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 click. And then it just turns ever so gently, right? And then you open it up. That's the Holy Spirit time. Guys, He's given us power in this life to perform the duties that He would have this world to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross for the entire world. He's given us the ability. He's given us the strength to perform the commission for each one of us to perform. Beloved, George Whitefield said that the Holy Spirit is the least known, least loved, least worshipped member of the Holy Trinity. And you think about it sometimes and you wonder why people go through life. They go through life discouraged, down, depressed, despondent, separated from reality. They're not tapping into the source that is inside of them. I've learned more about, I've used illustrations. I'm scared of electricity, number one. I'm not your electrician. As far as I'm concerned, there should be a national blackout before I change a plug out of the wall, if you want to know the truth, because I am afraid of electricity. I call that common sense, but, you know, I'm afraid of it. And I've learned more about how these things connect. Now, I've used illustrations over the years, and I've even in the midst of my own illustrations that I've used with people trying to connect their own power to the power grid on the outside, I remember thinking to myself, these people have lost their mind. But sitting down and talking with Preston, who used to work for the power company, would go out and have to take people's meter boxes. I now have a clearer understanding of how people were stealing electricity. And, you can have all the wires hooked into a house. You can have the breakers. You can have the wires. You can have the boxes, the switches. You can have everything that goes. But if you don't have that one piece of equipment that connects that power source to that house is dead as 4 a.m. And guys, it's the same thing in our life today. You can try to serve the Lord in your own ability. You can muscle it as best as you can. You can, hey, listen, you can wear the right clothes. You can walk the right walk. You can talk the right talk. You can sing the right songs. You can quote the right scriptures. You can do all these things all day long. But if you're doing it in your own talent, your own ability, and you're trying to muscle this thing, it's going to be dead as 4 a.m. You got to connect to that power source, beloved. And that power source is within you this evening. That power source, guys, is what what God gave us, and it is the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, well, preacher, let me ask you a question. What do I do with that power source? Look back in John chapter 16 with me. Now, the Bible tells me in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What we need tonight, guys, is we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God if we want a revival in our land. What we need tonight, guys, is we need power in our life. We need that all power. We need that authority and jurisdiction to lead through us, which God has given us, and that ability and that strength. We need the one who has all the authority to lead God and direct us in our ability and our strength in serving Him in this world today. If we're going to look to be an influence of faith to people in our life. But you know what we need? You got the power. Let me go ahead and say this to you tonight, and I'll go to the second point. If you're here tonight and you are saved, born again of the blood of Christ, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior without a shadow of a doubt, you have every bit of the power that you'll ever need inside of that temple right now. That's where He is. Now the choice has got to be with you tonight as to whether or not you tap into that power. How are you going to do that? He must have a presence in your life. He must have a presence in your life. Look in verse 8 with me in the same chapter, John chapter 16. Verse 8 says, now when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God is within us tonight to reprove or to correct us in this life. Guys, listen, he's there for that particular person. I don't know about you, but you know, when I was growing up, when I did something wrong, I was taught no. I was corrected. I was punished. I was whatever. That's just how it happened. You know what happened? Eventually, I started doing things right. Well, there's no different. God has parents do those things in our life so that the Holy Spirit of God, when He comes down, He begins to poke that conscience button, and He begins to poke you when you're doing things wrong. You go, hey, hang on a second here. My little feelings aren't being offended. Hang on a second here. I'm not a snowflake, and I'm not going to run away. That's the Holy Spirit telling me that I'm doing something wrong. He's reproving me because He loves me, because He's within me tonight, and therefore I can start doing things the right way. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. That's one of His purposes, is to reveal unto us where we are doing wrong and what we need to do to make it right. Now, that power source is within you. So just in the same manner that He reproves us is the same manner that He empowers us. You just got to tap into the power. Right. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, guys, I know many people have looked at this verse and they say, "Oh, that's a supportive verse of social drinking," and it's not even remotely close. It's not even the same chapter of that. It's not supporting social drinking whatsoever. What it is teaching us is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control of our life. When a person is drunk with wine or with whatever alcohol, when they're drunk with these things, they're under the influence of that alcohol. That's what they're under influence of. I said this morning, but my dad always taught me that a drunk man's words is a sober man's thoughts. Now think about that one for just a little while. We receive the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, but to be, watch this now, filled with the Holy Spirit is to be under His influence, okay, in the direction of our life. Look in verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," watch this in the next statement, "He will guide you into all truth." He'll guide you into all truth. You're under His influence. So my question to you tonight, and I ask myself the same question, are we operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God fully? Does the Holy Spirit of God have free course in our life? Listen, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God at His reception, but we must be engaged through the resignation of our control. I told this story this morning, and I know I've told it time and time again, and I'll try to make it I'll sum it up a little quicker. There's a story of a young man or a young lady that was shortly married. She became a widow quite quickly after she had her first son, and she lived off a school teacher's pension and very poorly, didn't have a lot of income, but she was sold out to make sure that her son had the best education in all the world. And so she worked in, two or three jobs, worked in the day, worked in the morning, worked in the evening, and provided her son with the best education that money could buy. He would graduate high school, go into university. He would graduate university, go into med school, and he eventually became a world-famous physician, one of the top physicians in all the world. And he eventually himself married a very wealthy, wealthy lady, a lady that he had met in his now new lifestyle. The great physician was the kind of person who was ashamed to confess to him that he came from very humble countryside origins, fearing that she may be ashamed of who and what his mother was. And so he remembered his mom and he appreciated his mother. And so he sat down with his wife one night and he said, "You know, my dear, how different servants in the country are than they are in the city." He said, "At home I had a faithful maid. Her name was Mary. When I was ill, she watched over me through many long nights. Had she not cared for me so faithfully, you would have never known me." He said, "We have a room up in the attic that is being unused. And if you would agree, I'd love to bring Mary into the home and let her live with us up there in that attic." And with joy, the young wife, the young bride agreed. And the man sat down and wrote his mother. And he begged her to come and move into the home. "If you'll just come move into the home with us, but you just have to promise me this one thing. Don't tell anyone that you're my mother." Now you would have thought she'd have read that letter, wadded it up, and thrown it away. But this was her only son. And she quickly agreed just to be around him. This plain little woman, Mary, showed up at the house. The doctor introduced her to his wife and said, "This is faithful Mary." And from that moment forward, she lived in the room in the attic. When the young bride would go away and visit her friends, the doctor would sneak upstairs and he would talk with his mother of his childhood, hours of great joy that he had with his mom. And nobody else noticed her presence in the house whatsoever. But this dear old mother remained hidden away in a single room in the attic. The only time she would have ever seen the other rooms of that home was the day that she arrived as she walked from the door up the grand staircase to the final loft. And she lived hidden away in an attic. Now let me ask you this question tonight. How many of us made our confession sure and true to the Lord Jesus Christ? We got saved. And we received and took the Holy Spirit of God in. And we opened our hearts up. We took what He gave unto us, eternal salvation. We took what He gave unto us, the promise of eternal security. We took what He gave to us, the empowerment in this life. And yet we just moved Him up into a room to visit time from time. You see, beloved, you and I are empowered tonight by His reception, not our own. We must be engaged through the resignation of control of our own lives and grant them unto Him. But if you want to make a difference in this world and allow the Holy Spirit to make a difference in you, we're going to have to grant Him prevalence in our life. Now, beloved, by all means, the Holy Spirit of God should have preeminence in our life. The word preeminence is a great word. It means superiority. It means greatness, excellence. It means distinction. But prevalence is a little different than that. Prevalence is something of a different coin, if you will. Prevalence is defined as the fact or condition of being prevalent, which simply means commonness. You could put it like this, free reign. You ever go to somebody's house, a close friend, and you just plop down on the sofa, put your feet up, kick back, chill. We probably only have one or two friends that we really and truly can do that with. Otherwise, we go to someone's home and we stand there until they say, "Would you please be seated?" And we sit where they want us to sit. And, you know, usually if you're like me, you're trying to make yourself as, you know, little as possible so you don't knock anything over. But I tell you, when you go home to mama, you go sit in the big chair. You kick back in the big chair. Matter of fact, you may even get the remote. Amen? There's a difference than having free reign in someone's house than just having visitation rights. And that's prevalence, my friend. Look in verse 14 with me tonight. We're nearly done, guys. Verse 14 says, "And he shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore that said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Here's my question to you tonight. The Holy Spirit of God came, and He came as a comforter. He came to seal us in the confession made true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He moved inside of this body, which is His temple. But does He have your life tonight? You say, "Preacher, I'm saved, born again, I'm going to heaven." He has your eternal life, and He has your eternal life by you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And from that moment forward, He sealed you. You didn't seal yourself. I didn't ask you if He has your eternal life. I know that question. The answer to that question. Does He have your temporal life? I mean, do we open up our home to the Holy Spirit of God and give Him room to live, but just moved Him up into the attic? I mean, do we just visit the Holy Spirit of God in times of need when we're having family problems and financial issues and problems at work and problems, you know, maybe with a name? Is that when we go and we say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, hey, listen, I need to pray now. Because would you come down from the attic and just listen to me because I got some issues going on?" That's not a relationship. You can't have a relationship. Guys, our faith is based upon a relationship of influence with the Holy Spirit. Our influence upon other people's life is answered through the power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit of God so that we can influence them to bring the presence of the Holy Spirit into their life so that they can make it prevalent every day. But my friend, that's never going to happen if He doesn't have prevalence in your life. How effective are we today? As the story would go, the young bride would eventually notice that her husband was very depressed. His demeanor in the home, his countenance would change. She finally discovered the secret, and she was quite offended, asking him, "How do you think me to be such a narrow soul?" Hand in hand, they would rush up into the attic, and the young bride would take the old woman's hand, and she would press it against her face. She would hug her neck, and she would fall to her knees, and she would kneel down, and she would beg and plead for her forgiveness. Without even asking anything else, they would lead her victoriously down the stairs. They would give her the brightest and the prettiest room in all of the home. And from that moment forward, joy returned to the home. You see, at the first, the mother dwelt in the attic, just in one room, stowed away his luggage. But later on, she was given full possession of the house. And guys, the byproduct of such possession was joy in the home, fruit of the Spirit, if you will. Time and time again, I've said that the fruit of the Spirit has always been for the benefit of others. It's a product of a life connected to the power source of its provider, and that's the Holy Spirit. So in closing this evening, and we'll be done, have you ever asked the Holy Spirit of God to come down from the attic and assume full possession of the house? Have you given the Holy Spirit of God a hearty welcome at the time of reception? At your conversion, did you allow Him to come into your house and come into your body and just give Him full room, guys? Full reign. He came in with such tender sweetness and gracious, willing guests. And how did you treat Him when He came into your life? Did you give Him royal welcome? Was He made to feel at home? Was He given free reign? Or did you simply usher Him away into an attic? You see, my friend, we must engage with the Holy Spirit in order to be effective. Our influence in this world today by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be dependent upon the influence the Holy Spirit has on our life. I didn't read the verse earlier, but it's possible. The Holy Spirit of God, guys, is not going to push Himself upon you. He's not going to do it. The Bible tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve Him not. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Christ is not going to force salvation unto anyone, and the Holy Spirit is not going to force submission into your life. He'll give you conviction, but when you harden that heart, He'll take that back seat. And you harden that heart again, He'll take that back seat. So the question is, guys, if you want to be effective tonight, have you engaged into that power source? Question is tonight, if you want to become an influence in this world today, in the lives of others, you're going to have to first allow the Holy Spirit to be an influence upon you. When D.L. Moody was just starting his ministry, you heard a preacher make this statement one night. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered unto Him." And Moody said later on that evening, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." So my question to you this evening as we close, are you willing tonight to invite the Holy Ghost down from the attic and grant Him full reign? Grant Him full control. Grant Him full possession of your life this evening. Will you bow your heads tonight? With every head bowed, every eyes closed. Again, I ask you tonight, guys, if you're here and the Lord has spoken to your heart, maybe there's something that you need to deal with tonight, deal with in prayer. And I understand the culture and the customs. But guys, this is the time that we can take right now to have a brief moment of prayer. With every head bowed, every eyes are closed tonight. You're here and you say, "You know what, preacher, I just want you to pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to purposely chat with you afterwards about anything. This right now is between me, you, and God." But if you'd be willing tonight to say, "Preacher, I just have something in my life. I want you to pray for me." Just signify by the uplifted hand. Just put your hand up, put it back down tonight. And I promise you, I'll commit you to prayer in my private time. Anyone here this evening, say, "Preacher, just remember me in prayer." Amen. I see your hand. Just put it up, put it back down. See yours as well. Say, "Amen. Amen." See your hands. Put it up, put it back down. Amen. Take this opportunity during prayer tonight and even during the song, closing song tonight, to pray and ask God to move in your life this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together. We thank you for your holy scriptures. We thank you for your blessedness, Father. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for all that you're going to do. But Lord, we praise you for who and what you are, not for what you've done. And Lord, to my knowledge, every soul in here this evening knows you as their Lord and Savior. They've made that confession sound and sure. So Father, I pray tonight that people would be convicted, not of me and not by me, but by the Holy Spirit, that they may render their life over to his full possession, to give him full reign, to give him prevalence in their life, so that that presence may be known and that power may be experienced. Father, I ask you, Lord God, tonight, those that raise their hand, you know their needs. I pray that you would answer their prayers according to your will. I pray, dear Lord, as we would set foot, Lord, outside of these doors tonight, that we would not soon forget the words that we've heard, that we would not soon forget that we have the ultimate power source within us to be successful in this life in our Christian walk. So help us, Father, go forward tonight. Help the Holy Spirit be an influence upon our lives, and in turn, help us be an influence for him in the lives of others. Lord, we do ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray this evening that the preaching and teaching of the